Okay, turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10. Look at this verse. Man. So we got John 3:16, we got Mark 8:31, and now we have Deuteronomy 34:10. I love this verse. It's a book about, this is a message about the gospel of Mark, and we'll get there. This is one of my favorite messages. I don't get to speak it often. I looked back actually last night because I was planning on speaking on Mark chapter 4, but then I just changed it because I like this message. It's one of my favorite messages because I'm going to give you my testimony at the end of this message. Don't worry, it'll take about 15 seconds. You ever heard a testimony in 15 seconds? Well, you're getting ready to get one. Okay? I love this verse. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10. What if they said this about you? Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10. And there arose not a prophet in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Man, that's a great verse. I mean, I don't want to lift Moses up. We lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's just not another verse like that about a man in the Scriptures. And there knew, and there arose not in Israel a prophet. Or there arose not a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Let me make it. This verse is equally moving. We don't focus on it as much. Deuteronomy 34 in verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord. Wouldn't it be nice? And I not to lift this up and not to be arrogant. Wouldn't it be nice if at your funeral someone stood behind the platform and said, this man or this woman served the Lord. There's really nothing. If you could say that, or someone could say that about you with honesty and sincerity, and they stood over your casket and said, this man, this woman was a servant of the Lord, there's really nothing else that needs to be said. There's a quote I actually saw it on Facebook. Be very careful about quoting Facebook, what you see on Facebook. But it said something like this, live, preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. You know, it's this attitude of we are serving the Lord. We take the gospel to the lost and dying, and it's not about me. Die and be forgotten. Praise the Lord that Moses was a servant of the Lord. I'm going to take a few minutes this morning and talk about why Moses served the Lord. I know you've heard these things before, but I want you to hear them afresh. I want you to hear them in your heart. Moses served the Lord. What made him a servant of the Lord? First thing I want us to turn to is to turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. We're going to go all over the place, and we're going to end up in the book of Mark and with my testimony. But Exodus 2 and verse 11. Our focus is on Moses and why Moses was a servant of the Lord. What are these attributes? What was Moses doing in his life that made him a servant of the Lord? Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren, and he looked upon their burdens, and he observed an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brothers. We miss this sometime. To have brothers and sisters in the Lord is such a wonderful thing. There was a story. We heard a story from a guy named Micah Tuttle a while back, maybe a couple weeks ago. And he talked about this brother who canoed for 3 days to come to the chapel in Peru. And he paddled against the stream for 3 days to be with his brothers. And you think about what a tiring trip that would be. And they asked this man, they said, how did you get through 3 days of rowing against the tide down the river? And he just said, with every stroke, I said to myself this, I'm going to see the brothers. To love your brothers and sisters in Christ. This is how the world knows that we love the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have love for the brothers. And I love, you know what else I love? The Canadians are not going to get this. But you know what else I love? Southern hospitality and our Southern culture. Okay? And it's just across the board. I love it. But there's problems with it. And so often we say in this Southern culture and in this Bible Belt and with this mentality of Neil's got an issue and Neil's got a problem and I'll pray for you. You ever heard that before? And man, we don't. You know? I mean, let's be frank. Let's be real. It's just part of our vernacular. It's just part of what we say. This brother, this sister's got a burden. They've got an issue. And I'm going to say, Neil, I'm going to pray for you, brother. And then it's just off to lunch. And it's just off to watch the Panthers play or whatever's going to happen. That's pitiful. To love the people of the Lord. And if there is, outside of Jesus Christ, never has there ever been a man who loved the nation like the Lord Jesus Christ loved the nation of Israel. It's just never been like that. It's never been seen like that. Where he healed them, and he loved them, and he cared for them, and he taught them, and he lived with them for 3 years. Never has there been a love like that. But I don't care what nation you're talking about. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, was there ever a man who loved the nation like Moses? Here he is, a son, an adopted son of Pharaoh. Don't you just love the sovereignty of God? Do you just step back from the scripture sometime and go, wow, that's what the Lord did? Do you know what he did? Have you read the scriptures? Do you know what he did in the book of Exodus? He did something like this. I'm going to have a deliverer. And I'm going to start the deliverance of the nation of Israel with a babe. Sound familiar? You go into like Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. Oh, it's going to begin. The deliverance is going to begin with a child, with a babe. And it's shadowed in the Old Testament by Moses. I'm going to have a savior. I'm going to have a deliverer. And his name's going to be Moses. And I want him educated in the finest schools. And I want him to see that the best the world has to offer. And Pharaoh, you're going to foot the bill. You're going to raise him. And you're going to educate him. And you're going to pay the bill. And then he's going to come back many years later and say, let my people go, that they may have a feast of me in the wilderness. Isn't that awesome? Isn't the sovereignty of God surreal? I'm going to do it. And you're going to pay for it. I love it. He loved the nation of Israel and he loved their burdens. We talked about the Christian culture. These same people in the nation of Israel tried to kill Moses. They murmured and complained against him constantly. And there is not a parent in here. There is not a grandparent in here that has never heard a people, i.e. your children and grandchildren, murmur and complain. But it wasn't on this level. At every turn, they sang the song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15, and then they complained at Marah in the same chapter. You cannot imagine the stiff-necked, hard-headed people that are the nation of Israel. You cannot imagine the things that they saw, and yet were so full of unbelief. It's just like the Lord just continuously shows us these pictures. Not so that we can cast stones at the nation of Israel, but so we can see ourselves. And yet Moses loved the Lord's people. It's not about the glory of Egypt. It's not about Pharaoh's house. That's my brother. I'm not advocating for murder, okay? Not advocating for murder. But I want you to see something. In the house of the Lord, when the people have a burden for their brothers and sisters in Christ, it's like nothing else. I'm not lifting up our meeting because you want some problems? Come to Randleman. We got some problems. 33 people in fellowship, and praise the Lord for it. And by no means ever would I lift us up. But this week, on Wednesday, at our little chapel, we found out that one of our friends in the Lord had fallen on hard times and needed a car. And by Wednesday night, we had him one. You know, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about getting a man a car. I'm not talking about giving a man money. I'm talking about knowing the needs of the Lord's people and it burdening your heart. Is that who we are? That needs to be who we are. To love the Lord's people. Moses loved the Lord's people. And when the Lord's people had a problem, he inserted himself into the midst of it. He loved the Lord's people. And if the lost and dying world would see us have a burden, not, I'll say it this way, not that I don't want you to have a burden for the poor, but how about a burden for the Lord's poor? And this is true religion, to love the widow and the orphan. How about some love for the widows? How about some love for the orphans? How about the Lord's people mobilize, not because we need to do it, but because our hearts are burdened for the Lord's people? Not that we don't love the poor, but man, we should love the Lord's poor. Man, should we love the widow? You want to talk about areas, a blaring area that the Lord's people should mobilize. And they are all around me in Greensboro to love the widow. Man, what a call. Is that on your heart? Is that on your mind to love the orphan and the widow? Or are we so self-centered that the burden and the mindset is, where are we going to hang out this weekend? So far from where we need to be. Praise the Lord for this man in Scripture who loved the nation of Israel outside of Jesus Christ like no one ever has. He saw their burden and it moved him. That's what we need. You know, how often would the gospel take root if they heard our words, but before they heard our words, they saw our actions? This man, this woman, they love the people of God. There's a man, I'm not lifting him up. There's a man, I know he had problems, and I'm not here to talk about him, but his name was Dick Andrews, and he died a few years ago, and you probably don't know him, and you don't need to know him, because his name's not important. But I observed that man growing up at Shan Hills Bible Chapel. I observed that man for over 3 decades love the Lord's people in every way possible. Praise the Lord for that testimony. Got a little ridiculous, actually. I was like 28 years old. The guy's telling him to send me like a $15 birthday check, you know. It's like, praise the Lord for his love for the people of God. He just in every aspect of his life. And were there problems? I'm sure there were. I don't really know them. I'm not lifting them up. I'm just giving you an illustration of a man whose life was committed to the people of God at a geographical location. And it moves me. It matters. They see that in your life. They'll listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the power of truth. Moses loved the Lord's people. Let's just take another quick observation. Turn to Exodus 15. Second time we've been there today. Not at Marah, but as we go into Marah, well, we're at Marah. It's not the solution to Marah, but Exodus. I just want you to hear what we have read 1,000 times, and I'm going to read it 3 times for you. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 25. And he being Moses, and he cried to the Lord. Let's go to Exodus 17 and 4. You want to talk about a phrase that is all over the Torah, all over the life of Moses. I'm just going to give you a couple examples, said a couple different ways. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 4. And Moses cried to the Lord. Let's go to Exodus 19. Exodus 19 and verse 3. Exodus 19 and verse 3 says this, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called out to him from the mountain, saying, now that's in reverse, but the point is, he cried out and he listened to the Lord throughout the Torah, throughout his life. I am so embarrassed about certain things in my life, but there might not be any more embarrassment in my life than at times where I'm struggling through an issue, where I'm struggling through a problem, where an issue at work, an issue in the family, an issue at the assembly, these are heavy stresses, heavy burdens at times. And I cannot believe that there have been times in my life where my wife simply turned to me and said, Stephen, have you prayed about this? Paul, can you believe there's been times in my life, Neil, where the answer is no. That's ridiculous, but it's true. As a kid, just a child at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, on the front row singing songs at 7 years old, at 5 years old, at 6 years old. And in my innocence, I would look at the nation of Israel and go, what is wrong with these people? At 6, at 7, at 5, at 4, what is wrong with these people? All they have to do, Bobby, is cry out to the Lord for direction, and he'll lead them. Whether by smoke, by fire, by pillar, whatever the circumstance may be. And yet these people will not cry out to the Lord. And yet when you read about the life of Moses, you will find one phrase throughout his life, and Moses cried unto the Lord. You want to know why he's a servant of God? You know why the scripture says that? Okay? It's not because he was powerful. He even complained to the Lord, Lord, I can't speak. Don't think that was true. We read the book of Acts. He was mighty in word and deed, But you might think he had all these gifts and all these talents. No, he loved the Lord's people. And when they were burdened, he was burdened. And when he had a problem, he didn't try to solve it. Like you or me. He simply prayed to the Lord and sought the Lord. It's not hard. It's not profound. We're so caught up by the eye. Know the name John Rockefeller? You know who that is? This is crazy. Listen to this. I've given this before. Like early 1900s, for every dollar in U.S. circulation, for every dollar in the United States of America, a nickel, 5 cents of it was John D. Rockefeller's. That's how rich he was. Can you imagine? Let me say that again. For every dollar in circulation, 115 years ago, a nickel of it was owned by John D. Rockefeller. That's how rich he was. Richest man in the world, richest American who ever lived. And you know what? I got a nicer house than John D. Rockefeller. Probably so do you. And my mattress is more comfortable than the richest American who ever lived. And my lifestyle is better. It is. I got a list of stuff. My car's better. My bed's better. My bathroom, it's tile. It's better. Hot water, phones, indoor plumbing, vacations, planes, you name it, we live it. We as Americans today, 110, 115 years after the richest American who ever lived, each and every one of our lifestyles is better than his. And yet we murmur and complain. Every time we have an issue, every time we have a problem, we complain, we murmur. It's like Exodus 15 all over again. Yet Moses sought the Lord. I don't speak to you. I speak to you so that the Spirit of God would say these things to you. Love the Lord's people. Have a burden for the Lord's people. Pray. What else did he do? He loved the Lord himself. He enjoyed time with the Lord. You have to just go through his life and understand that Moses had a relationship with the Lord. He enjoyed time with the Lord. And we preach and we spend time and we preach the gospel and we go to camps and we spend time with our children and our grandchildren. But so often we neglect time with the Lord. Moses loved time with the Lord. The Bible says that the Lord knew him face to face. I want to ask you a question. Does the Lord know you face to face? We forget about spiritual intimacy. We really do. I do too. Let me tell you about my life. The Lord has blessed me in many ways, get to do many things. I love to watch my kids play sports. They're not that great, okay? They're pretty good, but I just like to watch my kids play sports. So do you. You know the feeling. You know, we love to go to Myrtle Beach. I mean, we're probably going to go watch the Pirates, whatever that is, on Wednesday night or Tuesday night. So, you know, we're just going to have fun. We're going to do many things. I've been on plane rides. I was at the Mayan ruins in Tikal just a couple months ago. Some of the most amazing things you could see in your life. These Mayan ruins going to the sky. It's amazing. You know what I like to do? If you just said, what do you want to do? You want to go to Disney World? You want to go to the World Series? You want to go to the Super Bowl? You know what I want to do? This might embarrass her a little bit. And she might not believe this either, but I think she would. One of the more favorite things that I have to do in my life is just to, and don't take this the wrong way, but just leave my kids at home. Go eat dinner with my wife. Just talk, spend time with her. I love her. You know? Just me and her. No distraction. That's where she'd come in and go, I don't know about that, because I'm always peering at the ball game. You know, it's always a ball game. Just me and her. It's no distraction. Once a year, usually in May, we'll just take a trip. It's just me and her, and it's pretty nice. You spend time with the Lord? I know you're busy. I know you got a lot going on. I know there's Zoom calls and meetings, family. Does he know you face to face? I know this. The Lord knew Moses face to face. How about this? Exodus 32. What time are we supposed to close? I know you're going to give me the handshake, but what for the
12:10.
12:10. Okay, good. All right, because I'm like, that's not good if I got 2 minutes. We got 12 minutes. Okay, 12 minutes. Exodus 32, and this is really it for me. We talked about intimacy with the Lord. We talked about prayer. We talked about the burden for the Lord's people. But really, and I know there's Abraham's intercession for Sodom. I'm going to say that again. Abraham interceded for Sodom, just in case you didn't know the context. Don't forget that. But Moses, when it all boils down to his love for the nation of Israel and his servant, being a servant of God, he interceded for the people. That's really what I think about. I mean, that's really number one on the list. I know I'm giving you the last point and point number four about Moses and why he's a servant of the Lord. And yes, we're coming to Mark's gospel. Don't worry. But he was a man who interceded for the Lord's people. And when you see true intercession, it stops you in your tracks. We'll give you an example of that in just a minute. Let's look at Exodus 32 and verse 11. It takes a little bit of guts to intercede, okay? Exodus 32 and 11, and Moses besought the Lord, there it is again, his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath burn against thy people? He knew the answer. Whom thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with great might. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief he did bring them out to slay them in the mountains, to consume them on the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath. Repent. It means change your mind. Repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou didst swear by thy own self. Sayest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all of this land have I spoken unto you. I will give it to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord changed his mind, literally in our Bible. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto these people. Look at look at verse 30 and verse 32. And it came to pass on the next day that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Perhaps I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, thy people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Now if thou wilt forget their sins, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. I know these are just words, okay? I get that. I know we read these words. I know this is a King James Version. I know you're reading it in your version, whatever that is. I know you're just reading this. Oh yeah, Moses said this. No, Moses meant it. Lord, forgive them. And if there's an issue, why don't you take me? That's intercession. Now I'm going to give you a window into our home, and you might not like it or you might like it, and I'm not saying I don't care, but I'm going to give you a true story about intercession, because when you see a heart, an intercessory heart like that of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you see an intercessory heart, it is absolutely moving. There are times in my house when the doors are shut, and this is biblical, where I will grab the spoon, and whoever it is, I am coming for you. It is my job. It is what I am supposed to do. I do it in love. But I'm telling you, the way my father raised me is a good way. Because we need to learn discipline. We need to understand that there's consequences for our sins. We need to hear our father coming for us with the spoon when our tone is wrong. When they speak to my wife in such ways, I will grab the spoon and I will come for them. And the Bible says, you drive it from that child. And the Bible says, they will not surely die. And there are times in my family where I will hear a tone, especially from David. He's in the other room. I'm thankful he's not in here. It would embarrass him. But I hear that tone. It doesn't matter what I'm doing or where I'm at. I will stop. And he even recognizes the walk. And I will grab the spoon and I will deal with him as a father ought to do. And there is no stopping me. Months ago, maybe even a year ago, I heard the tone from David's voice, and I hate that tone. Rightfully, justly. And I came from downstairs, and I went to the place that the spoon is kept, and I grabbed the spoon, and David caught my eye, and he just partly goes into a panic. And no one in my family will speak to me. You know, it's just like all the kids are just like, ooh. There he goes. You know, like, my wife's even quiet. You know, it's like, And I grabbed the spoon, and I grabbed David's arm, and I took him into our bedroom. And this is the only time it's ever happened. But Eli, his brother, was beside him, saying to me, "Dad, it wasn't hateful. Dad, you need to hear the circumstances. Dad, he doesn't deserve it. Dad, hear the situation. Dad, don't do this yet. Dad, just please listen to what happened." And it takes guts to intercede. And my heart was moved. Not because of David, but because of his brother Eli. That's intercession. No. Another way. No. Not a spanking here. No. Just listen. It's the only time I've ever really seen it, but it moved me. And put the spoon down. I mean, even if David's guilty, you know? Even if David's guilty, when there's intercession like that, it needs to be recognized. Right? Hey, you want to talk about intercession? What about the Lord Jesus Christ who interceded? What about the Lord Jesus Christ who continued to say on the cross of Calvary, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? You want to talk about intercession that moves you? Intercession that changes you? Intercession that is so emotional? It's there. Moses interceded for the Lord's people. And I love him for it. Let's turn quickly. For the 5 to 10 minutes that we have left. See how I just snuck that in there? 5 to 10. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 7. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak to the rock, therefore, or before thy eyes. And it shall give forth water, and thou shalt bring to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink." And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, "Hear now, you rebels, ye must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their beasts also. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. Look at this. "Because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." It all happened just like that. Moses was a man who loved the Lord's people, and it shows. Moses was a man who prayed continuously. As the Bible says, so he sought the Lord. Moses was a man who interceded. Moses was a man who loved the Lord and knew him face to face. Moses was a man who lost it because he was with this rebellious people. And instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock twice. And just like that, the Lord said, "Because you've sinned and because you've done this thing, you will not bring the nation of Israel into the promised land." And just like that, the promises and the consequences of his sin were there. Seems harsh. A godly woman once said to me, it was my mom actually, she would say to me things like this, "Stephen, you can choose your sin, but you're not your consequences." And I'm telling you, in my life, when the consequences of my sin have come, at times it's been almost too much to bear. Almost too much to bear. And if you understand the heart of Moses, if you really study it, if you really want to know this man, you'll see that he loved the Lord's people. And he didn't just want to bring them out of the promised land, out of Egypt, but he wanted to bring them into the promised land. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Do you know what it is to be one step away from everything you've ever wanted in your life and to be taken away from you? He wanted to bring them into the land. He wanted to see the Lord's people enjoy the promises of God. And because of one sin, because of one quick moment where he stepped out of line and didn't listen to the Lord, because of these people, and because he lost his way, the Lord said, "You're not going to take him into the land." Lord, that's harsh. You know what breaks my heart is this. Where's the interceder for the interceder? You know, where's the intercession for Moses? Because Moses was always the one doing the interceding. Why didn't someone step up and say, Lord, no. Lord, how about something for Moses? Why was there no one that interceded for Moses? Moses was the great interceder. How come no one interceded for him? Talk about an interceder with one who intercedes with no interceder. You don't really need to look at Moses. You can look at the cross of Calvary and your heart is broken because that is our interceder. And there was no one who interceded for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so sad. It's heartbreaking. It's heart-wrenching. And it's pictured to us by Moses. Let's go to, as we close, two more passages. Quickly, Deuteronomy 34. You've been there. And in the Old Testament, and I know the Jews wondered it. It just is hard. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab and to the mountains of Nebo to the top of Pisgah. That is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead and Dan and Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. And the Negev and the plains and the valley of Jericho and the city of the palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land. This is the land which I swore to Jacob and unto Isaac and Abraham. Sorry, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to thy seed, which I have caused thee to see it with thy eye, but thou shalt not go over there. He even showed it to him. But you're not going to go. It's harsh. I'm coming to a point, but hear me. Sometimes the consequences of our sin are harsh. And you might think, where is the Lord? Where is the mercy? Where is the grace? We know these are attributes of God. Where are they? Here's the land. You're not going in. Years ago, we went to Legoland with Nate Bramson. That's a fun day. I don't know if you know this brother, but that's a fun day. I mean, we're just in the line. He's telling us Bible stories. We didn't even want to go on the rides. Just tell us more Bible stories. You know, went to Legoland. I've got a nephew named Gideon, and he loves Legos. And we had gone to Legoland, which is outside of Orlando. We had come back. We got all these pictures of Legoland. And we sat down with our cousins a couple weeks later and showed them pictures of us at Legoland. And Gideon had never even conceived that there was a place called Legoland. You know, it's like train land. You know, like I didn't even know this place was there. What is this place? And then we started showing him pictures. And I saw his face. You ever read somebody's face? He was in agony. It's like, I love Legos. I've devoted my life to Legos. I didn't even know there was a Legoland. And there's my cousins at Legoland smiling. It was awful. I took the phone away. No more pictures. A little bit of sympathy for Gideon. There he is. The people ready to go into the land, and the Lord shows it to him. You're not going to go. It's harsh. It's hard. Turn. One more verse. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. Told you we were going there. We're about 1 minute past time, and I haven't even given you my testimony yet. Don't lose faith. We'll be done soon. And he said unto them, Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, verily I say unto you, there shall be some that stand here who shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God with power, come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up to a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became exceedingly white like snow, as no fuller on earth can whiten them. And there approached unto them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Now I know this is about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. If anybody ever preaches on Mark chapter 9, they're going to be preaching on the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, and that's what this is about, and that's it. But I want you to know, I know the story of Moses. And I know the heartbreak of Deuteronomy chapter 34.
when the Lord said, your sin has kept you out of the promised land. You are not going in. I'm going to show it to you, but you're not going to move forward. And then when you know the canon of Scripture and you understand the life of Moses, and there all of a sudden you begin to read in Mark chapter 9 about Moses in the land, you see the gospel picture, and there it is. My sin kept me out of the promised land. But in Mark chapter 9, Jesus Christ brought Moses in. You get that? You want my testimony in 15 seconds? My sin has kept me out of the promised land. But I have an advocate with the Father. I have the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And He's brought me in. That's the testimony. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and for Simple Thoughts. Father, how wonderful it is that many, many years later, the grace of God is seen. Not in Deuteronomy 34, it's not known then, just the justice of God, just the consequences of sin. But in the Gospels, it's seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are so thankful that in Jesus Christ we have the promises that all things will be made right in Him. Father, we see the picture and the story of the life of Moses in the Old Testament and how his sin kept him out, and how, more importantly, in Mark chapter 9, there he is in the promised land. There he is in the inheritance. There he is with Jesus Christ. Father, how wonderful it is that our testimony is this. Father, truly, this is our story and this is our song, that our sin has kept us outside of the promised land, but Jesus Christ, my Savior, has brought me in. We pray in His name. Amen.